Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good? It's Skyline time.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, August 1st, episode 74. Today's podcast, we'll get into three topics. First, we'll look at the USA men who got a 103-86 win over South Sudan. We'll talk a little bit about the game, what went right, who didn't play, which kind of is starting to become a thing with this American team a little bit. And we'll start to preview the USA's game versus Puerto Rico to be played on Saturday. Next, game just went final not too long ago. United States women win 87-74 over Belgium, obviously not covering the spread. We'll talk a little bit about the American women's team, which got a little bit of a scare. Remember, folks, Belgium did only lose to them by two in the tune-up for the Olympics. I guess it would be qualifying, 81-79. So we'll talk a little bit about the USA. Are there any concerns that we have for the women? Last, we'll go to the NBA, and Cleveland just gave Jared Allen a three-year, $91 million contract extension. So they gave Jared Allen his money. They gave Evan Mobley his money. They gave Donovan Mitchell his money. They got Kenny Atkinson, and Darius Garland is still on the roster. This team is stuck in neutral, and I have no idea what the hell's going on, but I'll try to break down what they should do. Lastly, four tops, I should say. We'll stay with free agency, I guess. We say in extensions, Luke Kennard signed a one-year, $11 million deal to stay with the Memphis Grizzlies. Why, this is a sneaky good signing for one of the league's premier shooters. Let's start with the men, who won 103-86 versus South Sudan. They didn't cover as a 43-point favorite when they won by one, and they did not cover as a 29.5-point favorite in this game. When you look at the Americans, it was really the play of start off with Bam Adebayo, who was absolutely fantastic. 8 of 10 from the floor, 2 of 3 from the three-point line. We'll talk about that in a little bit. 18 points, 7 rebounds to lead the Americans. Anthony Edwards, who I talked about hitting his points prop of 12.5, just got there, getting 13 points. Kevin Durant chipping in also with 14. LeBron James, a relatively quiet pedestrian, but effective, 12 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists. But we'll talk a little bit about who did not play. Also, Anthony Davis, who I expected to play big minutes, 8.7 rebounds. We'll talk a little bit about that in a second. To me, what Steve Kerr has is he has an abundance of riches. He can play his team against any style because they got everything. The problem is they're all superstars. So someone's always, always going to be hurt. Let's take a look at it. First game, right? LeBron starts, Steph starts. Those are the only two starters. And Devin Booker. They were the same from game one to game two. You have Anthony Davis. And I came on this podcast, and I went on this network, and I told everyone I could listen that Anthony Davis and Bam Adebayo were going to be very important in this USA game. Why? It's the fact of the five-out offense of South Sudan. And you need to have guys that are mobile and agile at the 4/5 positions to be able to have the switchability to go out and guard the perimeter. And when I talk about 4/5s, I'm talking big fours, right? Big thighs, not Jason Tatum. So I wasn't completely shocked that Anthony Davis went into the starting lineup. I'm not shocked that he gave you what he gave us, which was 8 points, 7 rebounds, 2 block shots, 3 assists, a very very well pedestrian game. You know, I thought that that's what he was going to do. Now, the minus five is not something that I'm really thrilled about. But I thought there was going to be more time for Anthony Davis. I also said there was going to be more time for Bam Adebayo. And I'm going to say this again. Bam Adebayo is such an intriguing player coming out of this Olympics because it's like, is he being used right in Miami? Is Bam Adebayo this much of an offensive force, particularly shooting the ball from the three-point line? And that's something that we have to think about, folks, because if you look at Bam Adebayo and you look at his stats with the Miami Heat, obviously had a great year, 22.6, 9.6. But when you look at overall, right, let's just look for his career before we get into this past season. Bam Adebayo has never averaged more than 0.6 three-point attempts per game. 0.6. And that was this year. Bam Adebayo this year shot 36% from three. It's the highest he shot in his career. Second highest was 25%. You go look at the game logs. How many times did Bam Adebayo make two or more threes in a game? Folks, Bam Adebayo had two threes made in the entire first round series versus Boston. I go to the regular season. I mean, he had one game where he went 2 for 2 against Atlanta. He had a second game against Portland. Those teams both stink. I mean, he did go 2 for 2 against Philadelphia. There's three games. And I've gone through the list the rest of the year. Three games. Three games where Bam Adebayo made two or more threes. And I can count, and I don't want to have time, he has more games he didn't even shoot a three. So Bam is showing this ability to shoot the ball from the three-point line. I didn't know he had it. As a Knicks fan, I'm scared to death of this. Because Bam's got a guy that if he decides that he wants to take over games, I think he can really take over. And I think that's part of Jimmy Butler's frustration at times. They started Jason Tatum. I ain't shocked. They screwed this kid over. They made a mistake. So they put him in. They even got Halliburton some time. But it's the guy that didn't play that's interesting. And that's Joel Embiid. This is a guy that basically had French citizenship and we threw out the whole goddamn dog and pony show to get him to come to the American team. We slide him into the starting lineup. But because the matchup wasn't right, he didn't play at all. But the last game, they forgot about Jason Tatum and the matchup wasn't right there either. So is there drama on our hands with the American team? I will say this. When you go and get 12 superstars, arguably, I'm sure Jaylen Brown will have something to say about it. I'm sure Jalen Brunson will have to say something about it. The 12 best American players, and you go for 12 Chiefs, so big guns, and you leave some guys that are role guys that could fit like a glove, there's going to be questions. So Steve Kerr already came out and said that supposedly Joel Embiid's going to start next game. Oh yeah, he better, because that's not going to be a good look. Simply put, it don't matter who the hell we got coming out there. They're playing Puerto Rico. And yes, they got Carlos Arroyo, who burned us in the 2004 Athens games. But Carlos Arroyo's coaching. He ain't playing. So when you look at this team of Puerto Rico, they lost to Serbia by 41 points. Let me put my glasses back on, make sure I saw that right. Yeah, I saw it right. 41 points. 107-66. You want more proof? We got more proof. First game, they lost also big to South Sudan. So we're playing South Sudan, beat them by 11. Simply put, 32.5. I think the USA covers that line. Now, if you want to go in a different way and not look at particularly that because you're concerned about the line, then I would just look to see what the team total is for Puerto Rico and just hit the and just go under. 79 points, 66 points. I don't see how this team gets to 70 versus the Americans. So I think that's a way you can look at that. Try and go ahead and find those odds. And you should be able to make yourself some money there if you want to look at other ways around it. You know, if you want to look at first half or first quarter, USA jumps up big. You know, obviously that's something that, you know, I wouldn't have a problem with. Just really quick so people know, team props right now are not out on FanDuel. I will be sure to give my best plays Saturday morning, but I expect a USA blowout. I would stay away from the points props from any of the main guys and focus on bench pieces because I think the bench is going to play a huge role. I'm going to probably go right back to Ant Edwards at 12.5 points at -104 is something that I'm going to be looking squarely at. And I want to see when they hang Joel Embiid props because I think he's going to be in a pretty bad mood. Let's move on to the women who had we could say tougher than expected game versus Belgium, 87-74. Simply put, folks, this is the Stewie and Asia Wilson show. That's it. We're going to win games because we got the two best players in the world, and they're 6'5", and they're tough as nails, and they can score on absolutely everybody. Asia Wilson, 23 points, 13 rebounds. Stewie, 26 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. If these two are getting you 49 points, you can't guard this kid. And they play them together. So they go high-low. Pick your poison. So they're going to deliver us the gold medal because they're so much better than everyone else. But if there is a bit of concern, it's our guard play. Kelsey Plum, 2 points. Sab only had 6, 2 of 5 from the floor. Chelsea Gray did not score, only had 3 assists. Only played 10 minutes. Tarazi, no points. Jackie Young, no points. Folks, see, games like this ain't going to help the Caitlin Clark staying at home narrative. It's not. we need our guard to be better. Now, Chelsea Gray was absolutely outstanding versus Japan, but Japan ain't Belgium. Not even close. Back when Japan plays Belgium, I'm taking Belgium. We need to be better. And it's going to take our guard play to be better. I think, personally, even though she had 13 assists for game one, I think you got to start Sabrina Ionescu. Her ability to shoot the ball from three is a true space setter to allow Stewie and Asia Wilson to cook. And I love Nafisha Collier. I don't know if that's our best lineup going three bigs. I wonder if people are going to say, if our coach of the WNBA wasn't a head coach, would she be starting? And I love, and folks, look at me. I love Nafisha Collier. Love her. She's been one of the top four or five players in the WNBA this season. The problem is two players that are better than her are starting four and five. I would dare say, if you want to start Chelsea Gray to point guard, I'd play Ionescu at the two. Give Chelsea Gray another person that could knock down threes. And then if you want to start the veteran, Diana Taurasi, I'd play her at the three. So I would go, if you want to keep Chelsea Gray to start the lineup, I would go Gray, Seb, DT, Stewie, Asia Wilson. But at the end of the day, it's not going to matter. Who we play is who we put out there. USA next game is going to be on Sunday versus Germany. Do know that the last time they played warm-up, I do believe 84-57. They held Satu Sabali, one of the best players in WNBA. She was the most improved player last year, the 3-17 from the floor. Also remember, Satu Sabali just got back from injury literally right before the Olympics. So I'll be curious to see, if I look at points props, I would be curious to see where they hang Satu's. Because I feel Satu is going to be better. None of those lines are out. I'll put something out on social media early Sunday morning, late Sunday night. Early Sunday morning, late Saturday night, I should say. Previewing the game. Let's end today talking about a couple of moves. Before I go to Cleveland, I want to go to Memphis because I want to take my time with Cleveland. Luke Kennard signed a one-year contract worth $11 million to stay with Memphis. And when you think about Luke Kennard, I don't think people understand. Luke Kennard is probably one of the 10 best pure shooters in the NBA. This is a guy that could stretch the floor and knock down threes at a pretty high clip. So I think this is a good deal. So Luke Kennard, that shot 45% from three last year. When he got traded to Memphis, 24 games, 54% from three. Luke Kennard for his career is a 44% three-point shooter. The guy knocks down shots. So, why is this important for Memphis? Number one, folks, I expect Memphis to be a major comeback story. If Ja gets it together, they're going to be so good. Because Jaren Jackson Jr. will be better because they got Zach Edey. Zach Edey's going to protect the lane and allow Jaren Jackson Jr. to be a better version of himself as a weak side shot blocker or rebounder. Folks, go look at Triple J's stats. The best he's been is when he has a big man like Steven Adams. Zach Edey is bigger. Zach Edey is better. So that is going to help Jaren Jackson Jr., which helps them out. Then you look at Luke Kennard coming off the bench, and now there's times, ready, folks? Ja Morant, Luke Kennard one wing, Desmond Bane other wing, Jaren Jackson Jr. stretch four in the corner, and Zach Edey in the dunk spot. That can unlock Ja. Because Ja, like a LeBron, needs pathways to the basket. And his pathway means he needs shooters. You put Desmond Bane, and I haven't even talked about Marcus Smart. You put Desmond Bane, who is a career 42% shooter from three, with Jaren Jackson Jr., who, when his mind is right, is outstanding as a stretch four. He shoots at 35% from three for his career. Not bad for a guy nearly 7 feet. And then you have Luke Kennard, who's 44% from three for his career. Simply put, Ja's going to have operating places where he can do a lot of damage. There are three teams in the West that I think two of the three are going to make major jumps. Memphis, New Orleans, Houston. Mark my words. I think two out of three, in fact, all three may be in the top 10. They're going to knock some teams out. And some of them may surprise you. Let's end today's podcast by talking about the Cleveland Cavs. Folks, end of the season. What I say? Can't keep Jaren Jackson Jr. Can't keep Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. You can't keep Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell. And you can't keep J.B. Bickerstaff as a coach. Need to go get Kenny Atkinson. Well, folks, I got one out of five right. That ain't good. And I have no idea what is going on. Because it just gave Jaren Jackson, why am I calling him Jaren Jackson Jr.? I'm so mad about this. I gotta take my glasses off. It ain't helping me today. They gave Jared Allen 3 years, $91 million extension. For what? Double barrel bigs don't work in the NBA today. Unless one of the bigs can step out and shoot it from three. Karl Anthony Towns or Rudy Gobert. I got to put these back on. I can't see. So you are going to run this back and just hope. I think he's a great coach. After you also gave Evan Mobley 5 years, $224 million max extension. When you just extended Donovan Mitchell, you're going to run this back. And hope that Kenny Atkinson is a massive upgrade over J.B. Bickerstaff. Now, I think Kenny is. Massive? I don't know. But let's go through this, folks. Are they better than Boston? No. Are they better than the Knicks? No. Are they better than the Sixers? No. I think Orlando figured something out with this Da Silva kid. Any better than Orlando? I don't think so. Miami gets himself together. Any better than Miami? No. Oh, my God. I haven't got to Milwaukee. No. Any better than Indiana? Indiana defense? No. So I think Cleveland, until they make some moves, are a middling team in the East. I've said it time and time again. Trade Jared Allen to New Orleans for Brandon Ingram. You go get B.I. and you put him next to Evan Mobley. That would be a dynamite 4-5 combo. Because then also I talked about B.I. doesn't have to be the main guy. Spider's the guy. B.I. is a two. Mobley is the third option. And then you trade Darius Garland for a bigger guard who can defend and doesn't need the ball in his hands. Facilitator. Get me into offense. Get us set. Let's go to work. I love Kenny Atkinson. Love him as a coach. No bigger fan than Kenny Atkinson on his whole network than me. Now, Kenny Atkinson did a great job developing all those Nets. The Kenny Atkinson who's been crucial in the development of Jonathan Kuminga and Podzimski. Ask him. Ask those players what he did for those guys in Golden State. Ask Jeremy Lin what he did for him. But if you put Kenny Atkinson with this roster and don't make moves, I think as great as he is, you're setting him up for failure. This has been the Betting Above the Rim podcast for August 1st. For all things sports gambling, download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. Next podcast we'll record on Monday. We'll get ready with the USA, most likely men and women, advancing out of the group stage. We'll preview the medal round. For my producer, Matty George, Vinny, who always crushes it with the graphics, thank you for listening, folks. Remember, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.